conversations turn to concealed and carry on a campus in Texas should students be packing. This is America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. Hi, everybody. Hope that you're psyched that you're halfway through the work week. Although we're also lopsided and upside down right now. You might have just started your work week. Welcome to the show. I don't care where it is in your work week or if you're working at all. I hope you're making it, though, if you're not working. So left, right, somewhere in between, everybody's invited to this party. It's water cooler buzz at its best on the overnight highway. That's why I like to give out the numbers at the top of the show. Ooh, it's a consultant's nightmare. But you didn't even say. What was the question of the day? I don't care. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Hey, it's my contention that we all have some form of ADD, whether it's with numbers, although they don't officially call it that, or if it's something else. We have this much. You can see my fingers now. I'm making a symbol for a little tiny bit. We have this much of an attention span. I guess the House was listening because the House approved a bill to give up to $7.4 billion to workers who were sickened when they spent some time during the cleanup of the World Trade Center site after the September 11th attacks. You know what the vote was? 268 to 160. There was a lot of floor debate on this. I mean, a lot of floor debate. Somebody had to stick up for the sick 9/11 heroes. I don't care what your ideology is. I don't care what stripes you brag you have on your back. I was there. I watched these suckers go in and out of that pile. They called it a pile, to look for people in the beginning to pull whatever they could out, and they were told, oh, no problem. There's fine. Don't worry about it. Even people that brought masks. Don't worry about the masks. It's okay. Okay, my rump, it's okay. It wasn't. And then we just throw the people away on the side of the road. Ooh, it's inconvenient. Let's not talk about this. We don't have the money for that. Are you kidding me? You want money from us because you can't breathe and you're only 32 years old? Ridiculous. Why was this such a big damn debate in the first place? The bill gives free health care, that's probably why, and compensation to the people who got sick when they were working in the ruins. Now, this was the second time around for this bill. It failed in July. New York, they've been pushing for a long time for this. And now similar type of legislation is pressing its way forward in the Senate. There's a time when you put politics aside, and that was definitely a time that politics should be put aside. So here's a couple of thoughts on this. Anthony Weiner's going to tell you what he thought about the 9/11 responder law that's they're trying to kick in here. Also, Pete King, keep in mind that both of them are from New York, and Nita Lowry as well. Here are their thoughts.
People are going to be talking about, was the health care bill a good bill or a bad bill? Let's do that later. Let's do the politics later. Let's do the right thing now. Let's try to take care of the people in this bill with money to do it.
We're talking about the life and death of men and women who put their lives on the line without asking any questions at all. They just went to ground zero, and they worked from September 11th for the next 6, 7, 8 months, day in and day out.
Just as we provide medical care for our troops, we must care for the 13,000 who are now sick as a result of their heroic actions in a toxic environment.
She's right, and that's a big number. Listen, I'm for small government. There's no doubt about it. Leaning on the government, the whole health care thing, this is different. You got to take care of some people, and you have to take care of the soldiers. It's outrageous what we've done to people who have fought wars again and again and again, and it's outrageous what's happened to these responders. This is the first good thing that I would say that's come out of the House in a while for my money, and thank goodness that something's happening here. Forget the whole big government entitlement program nonsense, schmonsense, because I agree with that. But here is where you have to separate and say, hey, this is the big exception. This is what we have to do because the EPA told them the air was clean and they didn't have to worry about it. Go in. You can be there for a week. And then finally it's like, oh, I guess, you know, that air isn't so good to breathe anymore. So, geez, we kind of screwed up on that. And you see these guys, you know when someone's really out of breath And you see them, and it's so sad. It's so bloody sad. They're so young, some of them. And they're walking around like they're in a senior center, and they're 90 years old. I mean, come on. Give me a break. So it's just plain evil not to take care of them. In this case, this had to happen. This had to happen. I mean, forget about the argument about the other stuff. It had to happen, and let's see. I mean, let's see this push it all the way through, because this was crazy how this was dragged around. And you know what? Here's the deal. There's so many lawsuits that are happening because of this. It's going to go on forever and a day anyway, especially in New York City. But these people who are sick because of 9/11, I mean, you know, and this is just New York. So this isn't everybody in the country. Somehow there were some people who were confused on that. I don't know how. But it was the people who responded. Again, it's the responders. It's not people who just happen to be there. It's people who went in and did some pretty heroic things to their own detriment. Some people who died as a result of that, who were too young to have that happen to them. But again, they were told it was okay. See, that's when you have to decide. Don't listen to what people are telling you. You think that you trust, you know, you trust. So the EPA tells them it's all right. And it sure was not all right. You could see it. It was so thick. You could be on the New Jersey side in a train and look over across at Manhattan, and all you saw was a dust cloud. How could they think that was all right and not be 100% sure or as much as possible? So, you know, look, the good thing is I'm breathing easier if these guys are getting some help. I don't agree with it across the board for everybody. Absolutely not. But the argument of the big government thing does not work here with me. So I'd say thumbs up to at least this part of the action, which, again, is shocking, because normally I would not agree. Here, I absolutely agree. Now, moving on to Texas. A lot of people are talking about UT and what happened with this 19-year-old who ended up killing himself in the library. The SWAT team came in. There was panic on the campus. People were told to stay away. Nobody else was wounded, shot, killed, any of that, none of that. But he was definitely firing, and he definitely shook things up. By all accounts, he was a great student. People seemed to like him. He was quiet, but just because you're quiet doesn't mean you're nuts and you're going to do something like that. But the people around him liked him, in other words. There were not some big red flags saying he's a little odd, he stayed to himself completely, none of that. So now the conversation is, look, and the governor of Texas is saying this, I think we should have concealed and carry. If people can get the permits, go through the classes, they should be able to carry. So instead of forbidding kids on college campuses to not have guns, if they can go through the paces, legally get the guns, let them have them, because then they could stop a guy like this in his tracks before disaster happens. There are plenty of people who don't agree, because what happens when the police show up and they don't know who the bad guys are? What do you think, America? 800-259-5791. I'll meet you on the flip side.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com, or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Come true, sadly, in a perverse way, for some of the students at the University of Texas. It didn't happen. So the shooter was a smart, quiet kid who ended up killing himself. Graduates 7th in his class in high school. But all that stuff doesn't matter because in the end, he went nutty, takes an AK-47 assault rifle, runs through campus, scares the bejesus out of everybody, and ends up opening up a massive debate in the state and outside of the borders of Texas, because other schools have been talking about this as to perhaps what should happen is concealed and carry. That if somebody can go through the rigors, in other words, do the target practice, take the test, all that stuff, and pass, then they should be able to carry a gun. Now, the problem, of course, would be in some states you don't even have any gun laws. They're all over the map. The gun thing is all over the map in this country. But if it's a state like Texas, concealed and carry off the college campuses, you already have that. So should there be a line of demarcation at the campus? And it's tough for me to wrap my brain around this because I believe in the Second Amendment. I don't believe in taking rights that we already have away from people. It's whether I like some of the rights or not, I don't believe you take the rights away. That's a dangerous precedent. But, and so I am completely all about the right to bear arms. However, I understand the other point of view. What does this do for the police? That adrenaline rush, you're rushing to the campus. Oh my God, people, man, there's bullets everywhere. You're trying to save lives. You're trying to get the bad guy. What if you can't tell who the bad guy is? What if the people shooting have bullets all over the place that are accidentally hitting people? I mean, sure. The best case scenario is somebody's calm, cool, and collected. They're carrying a gun. And they're able, excuse me, to pick off whoever the bad guy is. Let's go to Leonard, who's listening to us in Mississippi. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, Miss Kate, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Leonard. Thanks for the call. What do you think?
I just find it amazing coincidence that the Second Amendment expert John Locke was due to give a presentation on the right to concealed carry on campus to the UT students for concealed carry.
But here's what you have to remember about Texas, because I know there are people are trying to think of the conspiracy angle here. In Texas, it's all about guns, baby. It's all about having the right to bear arms. And so in the case, even the governor jogs with a gun most of the time. So
yes, ma'am.
If this was like Philadelphia, if this was New York City, if this was some other place, I'd say, wow, that's even creepier because I get it, because there's no guns. In this case, the kid himself, I think, was trying to use it as his moment. I don't know why, and I could be completely wrong, but just from the little I've been able to glean, that's the idea of, I think, what happened here. And if anything, I think that it highlights, you're right about Locke, but I think it highlights the need for, yeah, let's have this discussion wide open. I mean, the governor flat out wants a vote on it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I'm from Texas, so I'm...
you know.
yes, ma'am. And I love Austin, man. You know, I did get to go to school there for a year, and then I was stationed at Fort Hood for about 6 years. So I lived in Austin the whole time I was stationed there. And I just really hated to see something like that happen, especially after the, I was there in 66, so all that stuff's in my mind.
Do you remember in 66, I've been up in that tower naturally, and I know all about it as well. We've been talking about it on the air, but actually being there, and I've spent a bunch of time at UT lecturing and talking to students and stuff, and it's got to be a weird feeling for you because you were there. I get chills like when I'm up in that tower. I just think, oh, how awful that happened. What was it like? What was the conversation? I mean, of course, people were afraid, obviously, to be around the campus, I'm sure, when that was going on.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I was across town when it happened, but I knew a lot of the students and stuff there. In fact, a couple of them that were shot, I knew. I had classes with. But it was something that was talked about for months.
Oh, yeah, and then the response and all that, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Police trying to get, they were borrowing rifles from farm boys that had rifles in their trucks.
Wow, really, because they didn't have the right kind of ammunition and the right sight line to get them, did they?
No, ma'am. Back then, law enforcement didn't carry rifles and shotguns in their vehicles. All they had was just their firearms.
Boy, I didn't even think about that. Wow. And when this happened the other day, that's exactly what it opened up, those wounds from 1966. Well, I'm sure glad that you shared with us. Thank you for calling.
Yes, ma'am. I really enjoy your show, ma'am.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, can you imagine the stories, like he said, he knew people that were shot and how, I mean, there's a piece of information they didn't, the police had to borrow rifles from other people. Wow. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, just a couple of comments. First of all, it's not really a Texas thing or whatever. I have great friends here in New York, upstate New York, Connecticut. And remember, it's not a frontier thing. The 13 colonies were on the East Coast. So when people tell you that it's a Western thing or it wouldn't work here, it can't work there, that's a lot of garbage. It's about keeping people disarmed and subservient to the government. Just keep that in mind. John Locke would have spoken, because I read both of his books, about the universities in Utah. Utah is the only state that allows their qualified students that are adults, if they can be in the military at 18, they can be to carry guns, and they would have stopped shooting. And there is no, like I said last night, there is no coincidence. This was done on purpose at the University of Texas to try to shut him down. There have been many instances.
Wow, so you think, your conspiracy is this kid was a patsy and they said, hey, buddy, just take your AK-47 and run down the middle of campus?
I don't know what the details are about it. We'll find out in the future and we'll come back to it. And hopefully you won't be as maybe dismissive of that possibility. But let me just, you know, I love you, so let me just go on. High school teachers that had guns in their cars have stopped high school shootings. The university, the law school in Virginia, the two students ran out and stood down. And look, You can wait for the police. The average 911 calls about 11 or 8 minutes to get there, even if it's 2 minutes. If you see the crazed maniac in the classroom shooting at you and you're the only one armed, I guarantee you they're not going to make a mistake, because when they get there, you pull your ID out, you put your gun to your side, and you say, and you put your hands up like everybody else when the police get there. We're just trying to tell people in the instant that a damn thing happens, we want to be able to defend ourselves. And let me just tell you, let me leave that to the side, but let me tell you how the even concealed carry across state lines will work. The Weekly Standard stole my thunder. You remember Tom Daschle of South Dakota, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I gave $200 to John Thune, who's a senator from South Dakota, who defeated Tom Daschle. I gave him $200. His family still sends me greeting cards. He's on the cover of the Weekly Standard. He's 6'5". He's got a chiseled jaw, a nice-looking guy. Sure enough, I was going to say it last week, the week before, he wants to run for president in 2012. The reason I bring his name is up. Is why elections have consequences. If Miss O'Donnell wins in Delaware, the other fellow beats Feingold in Wisconsin, and the Senate Republicans take over the Senate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
John Thune introduced a bill last year. It failed by two votes, America, that your gun license to carry will be recognized like your driver's license in all 50 states. So that, let's see what happens. Let's put the money where their mouth is. And I'm not saying pan out guns like candy. I've never said that. But you know I get excited, and I'm committed. After 9/11, when the towers came down, there's going to be nobody there to defend you when you need to defend yourself.
Yeah.
It's not about guns. It's about control and the right to self-defense, and you to make the own decisions of your life, because they let criminals out of jail, and the police can't be there. They're only there to mop up the crime. And if the police didn't want to help you when they saw the crime you committed, the Supreme Court has said over and over again they can never be held responsible, nor can Bloomberg and all the rest of these scumbags that want to keep you disarmed, and a disarmed populace are a bunch of slaves. If I sound like a nut, well, you need to do your damn research, America, and see what it's about. Because when you get into that gun issue, that right to self-defense, you get into other issues, liberty being the one, the Constitution. And you can say, oh, this is it's not abstract. When you walk down the street, you want to be left alone if you're a law-abiding citizen, and you should have the right to defend yourself, and the hell with all these politicians. Thank you for your time, baby.
All right, thanks. I actually agree with some of what he was saying at the end of the conversation, not with the setup on the campus, but with the fact that, I said this already, if you choose not to do it, we don't want to see rights taken away anyway, because that's a zero-sum game, I think, in this country. That's not the way we want to go. I hate when things that have already been passed, proven, whatever, all of a sudden they start to go in the opposite direction. We don't want that. And I agree with him. It should be your choice. Hang with us.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now. 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250 capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Genesis.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe, because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter iSafeBags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Is in the details. And we're talking about digging deeper in politics. There was a big vote in the House that kind of was pushed to the side, I think, by some, because there were so many other things that went on. This is like that hurry-up phase. They're in the hurry-up two-minute offense because they want to get out of there so they can campaign. Hurry up. We're going to talk really fast. You're on the clock. And really, they are on the clock. So the House voted an overwhelming 348-79 to do what? To get a lot tougher on China. So what does that mean? It means trade sanctions, baby. And what are we talking about when we're talking about the trade sanctions? Well, look at it this way. This legislation, what it would do is it would hit China and other nations for trying to, let's say, manipulate their dough, their currency, to gain trade advantage, because that's what's been happening. So what happens and what the prospect of it is in the Senate, I don't know. I'm not so sure that it has a smooth time in the Senate. The idea of the bill is it would allow more pressure to be put on China on an issue that some people feel has led to the loss of more than 2 million manufacturing jobs in the U.S. over the past decade. I would agree with that a little bit, but I think it's also greed. Why we don't make more things in America, and then people say, well, Americans wouldn't do that. Our people wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do that. That's bogus. What happened was that the manufacturing went elsewhere because it was cheaper. You know, we're not stupid. We know what they're paying in India at the call centers. In fact, there are comedians who do acts on it about how funny it is when you call up and how much the person actually knows and how they can converse with you. There's nothing worse than that. In fact, I always ask that. It's happened to me a few times. Where am I calling? Am I speaking to someone in India about changing my flight? Yes. Okay. Gotcha. You know, that's why I like, and I'm veering here, but we do that sometimes on this show. That's why I like JetBlue, because JetBlue has people who work at home in Utah manning their phones. So if you call up to make a reservation with JetBlue, you might get somebody, you know, a single mom raising kids, or just a working mom, or a guy who's trying to put himself through school and has hours where he can work for JetBlue. But whatever, you get my drift. So at least it's here and it's not in India or someplace else. So this vote comes in the big scramble, like I already described. Time to get on the campaign trail. And the measure was passed by a very wide margin. So you had a lot of Republicans that were on board with this, too. This wasn't just Democrats who voted yes. There were Republicans who said no, and there were Democrats who said no. But I think that it's time to send that message to Beijing that this manipulating of the money and some of the other crazy trade things that they're doing are not fair to America, aren't fair to our workers. I mean, geez, at some point you have to stand up for that. You have to stand up for it. And what's really staggering to me is when you look at the trade deficit with China, it's gone from $5 billion annually, okay, to $5 billion every week. Did you hear what I just said there? $5 billion annually, this is in 20 years' time, to $5 billion every week. Something has to be done to help the American worker. And, you know, American manufacturers say that China's currency is undervalued by maybe even 40% against the dollar. So what does that mean? Let me just cut through all the crap for you. It means that the Chinese products are cheaper and they're more competitive in the U.S. And the American products, of course, are more expensive in China. So what do you think people are buying? Go to Walmart, start to flip over everything and see where it's made. Not even Walmart. Pick a place, any place. Try to find shoes that aren't made in China. Probably 85%. Unless you're going to Italy and you're buying your woman $500 Blonix or Pradas or whatever. But you get my point here. So this legislation, if it goes all the way through, would allow some really stiff sanctions on the imports. And I think that's a good thing. Right now, the Commerce Department doesn't really consider currency manipulation as a government subsidy for which it can actually impose trade sanctions. So you had this House debate where there were studies that were cited when they were talking, a lot of the legislators, they were showing that the legislation would boost the exports and would create more jobs. And I think those numbers are right. Somehow you got to take some kind of a step in the right direction with this. You know, you look at clothing and toys especially, and, you know, what does that do? What does this do for the American worker? And the bottom line is, too, you don't have a job, who cares what the things cost? Who cares what the toys are, the clothes are? Because you're in trouble anyway. So the Chinese are not going to like this, and they support exchange rate flexibility, and they're probably not going to really say much about what they're going to do with their yuan, which is their currency. I think they're going to play it as close to the vest as they can. The yuan has risen by only 2% in value against the dollar. Whew. There has to be a way to pressure China. Has to be a way to do that. You know, there are other things, too. There are other things that have happened in this whole trading stuff with China deal, importing Chinese goods. You think of the lead-tainted stuff. Of course, it's made so cheaply, some of it. But what does China have over the good old USA? Yeah, they're waving the money that we owe over their head is what they have. They own our debt, basically. Own it. So here's the deal. Everybody's going to go and campaign. Let's see what happens with this China currency bill in the Senate and if anything actually comes to bear with this. I mean, they have to confront the Chinese about it. They have to. I think it cannot let this tide pass. And I think it will happen. So the House passes the bill. Next, the Senate picks it up. It's going to be tougher to go through the Senate. Something has to be done about the yuan, and something has to happen to help the American workers, and that would do it in the trade sanctions, most likely. I don't want to stick just on this one thing, because there's other politics to talk about here. As I said, we're looking under the hood, so to speak, and in doing that, let me give you a couple of other things. Okay, if we look at Delaware and the Tea Party and Christine O'Donnell and, you know, what's on her resume and what did she say when she was 5 and what did she say when she was 10 and what did she say when she was 16? And of course, everything that she said on Bill Maher is being examined, because no wonder why Bill Maher liked her, because she would say anything. And that was part of that being the panel there. You got asked back more when you were controversial, because controversy sells. So if you were just a stick in the mud and kind of nodded your head and barely reacted to anything, doubtful that you'd make an appearance or sell a book or two when you went on his show that was actually pretty popular, especially when it was on ABC. Now, the last thing that's happened with her has nothing to do with anything that she's said on any show. Instead, it has to do with a school that she says she went to. She said that she attended, that she was an education, that she was not an education, that she was a, she attended Claremont Graduate University. That's where she went. But Claremont Graduate University says that they had no student or even any education record for somebody named Christine O'Donnell. And there's, you know, because everybody's looking into her background. She said that she got a undergraduate degree from Farley Dickinson University. And, of course, I'm going to check on that. She didn't get a degree from that university. So what does it all mean? I mean, where is she saying it? Well, where some of that was picked up is she had a LinkedIn profile, and on that she put those things. And I think they're saying that there might be confusion with the Claremont thing, because she has some involvement with a think tank called the Claremont Institute. So that would be the defense of that. She did get a Lincoln Fellowship from the Institute in 2002. I guess it's the graduate word that people are questioning. And they're also looking at other things, and they're trying to find out, was she a student of the Phoenix Institute course? Is that how she, you know, got her education? So that may be something that comes up in the course of her speaking, or, you know, whatever. And also that she took courses at Princeton University. So obviously there's some holes here that I think her campaign people are trying to shore up and explain as to, well, what's the education? Did she really study at Oxford? Did she do something else? Because that also came up. I would say there's like confusion on all these schools, because how many schools did she go to? So, I mean, and, you know, look, lots of people like education, and they do cherry pick and go to different schools. But they're going to be looking for anything they can get on her anyway. So that's goes along with the business of politics these days. They're going to look at you under giant microscopes and try to figure out where can they get you. And this is where they're trying to get her. In fact, some of it came from Talking Points memo. Hang with us. We can count next.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. $1,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today. This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutrition tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center's seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
All right, topping We Can Count. A North Carolina agency, this is shocking, says thousands of long-term unemployed people are going to have to pay back some money to the state because they mistakenly overpaid them. Isn't that brutal? It's true, though. The Employment Security Commission made about $28 million in overpayments to the jobless North Carolinians over the last 2 years. Oh, would you not be fumed if you got that letter? Say you just got on your feet, you really were one of those poor suckers who just could not find a job, you were networking, you were going to the church networking parties, you were going to anything your buddy told you to go here and apply, and then finally you get a job. And you didn't want to be on the dole, but you had no choice. You couldn't even get a job flipping burgers because somebody else took them from another country because Americans don't want to do those jobs. So you couldn't find a job, and then finally you find one, and you were just drowning in this sea of trying to juggle everything. And then you get a letter in the mail that you owe money back. Oh, 38,000 people. Overpaid or underpaid. So overpayments could be forgiven if people apply for a waiver, but they're not going to say how those requests are evaluated because some of them are going to have to pay it back. So gee whiz, you have a regular gig. It's not paying what you used to make, but we need that money back. That's not good. And then, of course, there were people that were underpaid. That's nice, too. So somebody could also be in the same situation, and they're not making enough, and or they are not making enough through the unemployment while they kill themselves looking for a job that they really don't want to be on. They don't want to be on the unemployment, but yet they were underpaid. Ooh, that would also not be so great, would it? Okay, this is another interesting story that has to do with foreclosure, and it fits right here nicely into we can count. I used to say on the show when everything was collapsing, yeah, just drive around the neighborhoods, not even far from your own, and I guarantee you're going to find houses for sale where it's a short sale situation or just flat out the people, I mean, the house is trashed on the outside and the people were booted out and it was a foreclosure and, you know, or you see the signs say foreclosure, of course, and you see them all over the place. Well, here's what's going on with J.P. Morgan. More people lost their homes to foreclosure in August than any other month on record. But now they're saying they're worried about the legality of some of the proceedings. So J.P. Morgan Chase has suspended legal proceedings on some foreclosures because of the concern about the foreclosure documents. So what does that mean? They're saying that employees signed some affidavits with about loan documents without personally verifying the files. So now there could be even more of a stall in the foreclosure process, which also hurts everybody. So last week, keep following me, I swear it makes sense, after GMAC Mortgage halted its foreclosures in 23 states, there was a report that one of the employees hadn't even read about 10,000 foreclosure documents he approved every month. Now Colorado wants to be put on that list of states because they have the same problem, somebody that was just signing. Now in Florida, they're also saying they may have the same problem. What is going on? It's unraveling. It's what it is. What is wrong with J.P. Morgan? This is ridiculous. So now you're going to have these delays in these foreclosure proceedings, and that's already it's going to cripple even more our wounded housing market. Ridiculous. Remember that whole too big to fail thing? I think we were really rethinking that whole deal, weren't we? Too big to fail. Too stupid to move forward. And who's doing these jobs? Who's getting these jobs? Is it these Ivy League people who are getting paid oodles of money, or are they just hiring anybody and they don't understand how the process works? Ah, screw it, I'm tired, I'll just sign off on this. Whoops, turns out the 10,000 documents I signed, I have no idea what they're about. This is crazy. It's just out and out crazy. All right, so I'm going to get off of that. I just want you to know that another shoe is going to drop, and then another, and then another, and another, and it's all going to be tied back to the housing industry again. And this time it's going to be over shoddy work, and we're all paying the price for it. I mean, that's what the true deal is here. It's the fact that all of us pay when the idiots continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. Isn't that the definition of insanity? I think it is. All right, so let's move on here in We Can Count. It's one of my favorite segments. I don't want to make it all doom and gloom, but this is, I think, really sad stuff. And I did a blog on it the other day. You can go and read it and just so that we're going to talk more about this and we're going to have people on. But you know how I feel about soldiers, of course. How much they give and give and give and how much they really don't, I think, in my opinion, receive. I'm not saying everybody. You see people warmly doing things for people coming back. I mean, I even noticed on the plane, they say, anybody in military, you get on the plane first. I thought, oh, thank goodness. Bump them up to first class, whatever. But you have four soldiers from Fort Hood, Texas, who died over the week. In all four cases, they were decorated veterans. And you know where they were from? They were decorated from wars in Iraq, Afghanistan. They took their own lives. So the number of suicides, and if they're confirmed suicides, it would be on top of the 14 other suicides on the base this year. Oh, that's crazy. I mean, that's the highest they've seen. And this is a huge base, as all of you know, because it made big news when Major Hassan killed those people. But the bleak news is this, too. I mean, this is just tragic. It's got to be frustrating for certainly the leaders on that base as they try to make sense of this. And, you know, it happened on Friday. They found One of the privates who was from New York, he was found, and he was the victim of a gunshot, and he was deployed to Iraq for most of 2009. He got a number of medals, including the Army Commendation Medal, and then they found another sergeant who was dead at his house in Fort Hood. He was part of Operation Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom. He got a Bronze Star, a whole bunch of other things, and an oak leaf cluster, which is very big, and had numerous decorations. Same thing, the body of 29-year-old Sergeant Timothy Ranella. He was a guy from Virginia. He was found in his home outside of Fort Hood. Gunshot wound. And he served three tours. Hear what I said, three tours in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. Ugh. And then they found another sergeant, Michael Franklin, and his wife. They found them dead of gunshot wounds in their house, so it looks certainly like murder-suicide. And here's the sad story there. They had a 6-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. What did he do? Two tours of duty in Iraq in the past 4 years. Another decorated soldier. He had commendation medals and all kinds of other decorations. So he was definitely decorated. All of them. All of them were. Now, we do know that the military has finally really opened this discussion up, and they're focusing more on trying to stop the suicides, or at least certainly reduce them, whatever they can, among the guys that are serving. And I'd say women, too, but it's mostly been men. And the speculation is, and I understand this, and I'm sure some of you who have served understand this, that the troops won't seek help for emotional or mental problems because it stigmatizes them among their own peer group or their commanders or whatever, so they don't want to do that. And it doesn't look like that's the case at Fort Hood this past week, because at least in two of the cases, they had been in for counseling, so they were trying to get help. But does this say something about the stress of the operations that we have going on, because you've got these two wars being fought in the last couple of years anyway, simultaneously? So how much pressure is that putting on these people, on their life, on their relationships, on all that stuff? I mean, it's a very tough, tough life and a very sad thing. I hope that the military does everything it can to help the troubled souls that are coming back and try to prevent this from happening as much as humanly is possible.